ask that you would just come and speak, God, through me, and that your words would be heard, and that you would just open up our ears and our hearts, that we'd be able to internalize what you have for us, that we would just be able to really personalize it for us, God. I just want you to be heard, not me. Amen. We're going to talk about abortion tonight. And how it's a good thing sometimes. I'm going to talk about how we need to have an abortion possibly in our lives. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 13. You want to read that? Yeah. What? Through 17.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Whose kids are those? Must be Dudley's. Mine's the quiet one. Those are Dudley's. If you look at in verse 14, and it says, have your loins girt about with truth. And I looked up the word loins in the Strong's. And it says, where the Hebrews thought the generative power or the seed resided. And that really grabbed a hold of me. That is where reproduction takes place. That is where things are conceived. It's a very vulnerable part of us in our spirit. And so we need to have truth there, because you have seeds that are planted. And the seed that comes in, there's deception and lies, or there's truth. And when there is a lie that is conceived, that starts, we need to abort that lie. We don't want to be pregnant with lies. We want to be pregnant with the truth. And we have to abort it right at conception. We can't nurture it and let it grow inside of us, because it will affect every aspect of how we think, how we feel, how we talk, how we act. And it starts quickly. It's not something that we can let begin to just be inside of us and we can like nurse that lie. We have to abort it. So in this case, abortion is a great thing, because we want to abort the lies that the devil tries to plant there. We have to surround that area. It's a vulnerable. The womb is a very vulnerable area. And we have to really be careful what we allow to take root there. Jesus is the truth. And so everything that comes into our spirit, into our womb, our spiritual womb, needs to line up with Jesus. And if it doesn't, then it's not truth. And you need to abort it. You need to kick it out right there. Kill it right there at conception. In James 1, it says that lust, when it has conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So if we allow lies to take root and we allow ourselves to be pregnant full of lies, then we're allowing death to reside inside of us, and we're speaking death out, and we're acting out death to those all around us. So truth needs to be there. I always thought it was kind of weird that he started with the loins for our armor. Like, you should start in your head, or you should start with your feet. But he starts right there in that, because that is where it starts. What seed is being planted inside of you? What are you pregnant with? Because that's what's going to come out of you. That's what you will birth into your life. Then he went on to the breastplate of righteousness. And that means integrity, virtue, purity of life, correctness of feeling, thinking, and acting. It covers from the neck all the way down through the torso. It covers that part of your body. So it is what protects the womb. So whatever's inside of you, you're going to protect it. Are you going to protect it with righteousness or with unrighteousness? If you're righteous, it's going to line up and you're going to act correctly and you're going to be nurturing the life of God inside of you and to those around you. That's what I want to be protecting. And also, when he says the breastplate, if you parallel and you're thinking in terms of pregnancy and what's inside of you, the breast is a place of nurturing and feeding and nursing and comfort for babies. It's where they can go to be safe and secure, and they're cuddled and they're lullabied. So it's not just about like fighting and, you know, let's go out and battle, but it's that comfort. What do you comfort yourself with? What is your protection? What is it that you find comfort in? Something to think about. Are you finding comfort in a soap opera, which is full of lies? Or do you find comfort in the Word, which is going to pump more truth into you and protect that truth that should be inside your womb? What are you feeding into that? What is your protection? We move on, and we're going to shod our feet with the preparation or the readiness of the gospel of peace. We need to be ready to walk in peace, to be exempt from the rage and havoc of war, as Jesus exampled it in his life and his death. We don't need to be ready to just defend ourselves. Every step we take, we're walking in a defensive stance. You know, go ahead, I dare you. Come on, say something, and you're ready to fight. You need to walk in peace, even to the death. We're going to have stuff coming against us, and it's going to matter what's inside of us. Everything stems from that, what's in your womb. Because that's going to come out every step you take. Are you walking in truth? Are you walking in that? Because if you are, then you're going to be walking in peace. You're going to be ready with the peace of Christ, the peace of His gospel, His death, His life, His message of who He is. And He showed us how to live that way. He didn't live in a defensive, you know, he had to defend himself, prove he was right. When he was taken before Pilate, he wouldn't even speak to defend himself. And there was no sin found in him. So we need to follow that example and walk in readiness of peace and let the truth speak for itself, because Pilate couldn't find any wrong in him without him defending himself even once. And we need to walk that way. We need to guard ourselves with the shield of faith, which when I looked up the shield, it said that it was a large four-cornered piece of armor that they held up. As opposed to before that, what they had were small circle, you know, the small circle shields that you see in movies, and they don't protect very much of you. The shield of faith they were talking about was huge, so it would protect their entire body. And faith, we have to hold on to it with both of our hands. We have to hold it. And faith is believing what God says. That is the only way that we can quench or have divine influence over the fiery dart that the enemy will throw at us. And it doesn't come at us in some mystical, demonic way of, you know, oh, there's a dart. It comes at us through what people say and through what those around us are doing, usually those that we're closest to, because our guards tend to be down. We don't usually have that shield up when we're with those that we're closest to. We just expect them to do what's right, or we expect them to know how to talk to us, or, you know, how to handle us with kid gloves. And we don't give them any space for their own flesh to be there. But if we're holding on to what God says, if I hold on to what God says about Pastor Harvey, then if flesh gets in there, or the enemy gets in there and comes at me, but I'm standing in faith that he's a mighty apostle of God, that shield, just the dart, just is going to fall off. And not just fall off, but have divine influence over. That means it's going to influence, it's going to change the things that are coming at us. Because when we have faith, and I see you are a mighty man of God, I don't see your actions maybe lining up at this moment. Man, I need to pray for you. And that faith, God says, you're this. And God, you said this about him. And you begin to, like Patty says, beat down heaven's door for that person in intercession. That is the shield of faith. You're believing what God said, and you are actively stepping in that. You are walking in that, and it's going to have that divine influence over what's coming. And not out of them, but what the devil can even put into them to come forth from them. You're completely doing a paradigm shift in someone else's life when you stand with that shield of faith and say, God, what do you say about this person? And you pray that. You begin to speak it out. Call those things that are not as though they are. You know? You begin to just speak that out. God says that you are this. And you don't let the lies of what you see and what you think or the way they affect you. You know, you don't let that change. Oh, now he's a jerk. No, he's still the same person that God said he was 5 minutes ago. And I'm going to stand, and it's going to take two hands to hold that shield of faith. And I'm going to have divine influence over those fiery darts. And what's going to then come out of him is going to be from God. And it's going to change who we can even see him to be, who anybody. You know, we have to just speak into who they are with that shield of faith. And I don't think it's a passive. We look at shields as a very passive, like, defense. And I don't think that that's what faith is. I think it's a proactive. It's a, not passive. What's the opposite? Aggressive? It is. It's a very assertive weapon. It's not defensive. It's offensive. That's what our faith needs to be. That's an offensive shield. And we need to use it as such instead of just being passive and, well, I'll block whatever comes my way. No, you need to go after what comes your way and have divine influence over that. And watch the world around you and the people around you be transformed by those prayers. And then he goes to having the helmet of salvation, which is the protection of the soul, which consists in the hope of salvation. And I, in Romans 12, will you look up Romans 12, 1 and 2, Dad? Okay, go ahead. You're already there.
I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a sacrifice, fully acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable faith. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove
by the renewing of our minds. That's the helmet of salvation. When you meet Jesus, the Christ, it is the helmet you're putting on. It's a renewal of your mind. It is going to transform your life. And everything will, it like protects you. It protects your thoughts. It will put that there. And we need to stay in that. We need to stay in that mind frame of protecting that. It's a eternal perspective rather than temporary. You know, we have to put everything in perspective of living for eternity. Mom was talking this morning about that we need to be thinking about eternity and not for right now, not for this 70, 80-year lifespan that we get here on earth, but what is the eternal purpose? What is our focus should be on the eternal? And that helmet of salvation does that. By keeping our focus on Jesus and on his salvation and the hope that it doesn't really matter what we're going through here, because in the eternal, we're going to be with Jesus, you know? We've got heaven, we've got eternity to look forward with him, and this life is not so big on the scale of eternity. So, that's pretty much. But that was my challenge. When I read that, I had never seen it that way before about it being a parallel of pregnancy and what that truth, that aborting the lies, because it all starts right there. And I think that's why he started with that, because if you let a lie be conceived inside of you, it will skew every single aspect of your life from that point on. If you're pregnant with lies, then the breastplate that you're putting on is full of holes. It's not protecting you. And your feet, you're going to be defensive and you're going to be angry and you're going to be... Your feet are going to get sore. You're going to be walking on stones. You're not going to be in peace, you know? You won't be holding up a shield of faith because you're too busy ready to fight. And you're too busy believing everything that's coming and the arrows are hitting you because you're full of that. You're holding on to and nursing and taking care of a lie. And there are belief systems that we have on why people do things the way why people do what they do, or what this means. If you say this, it means that, and that's not necessarily true. You know, I might have the belief system that if you didn't come and hug me when you walked in the door, that you don't like me. And I'm going to start nursing that lie. She doesn't like me. She doesn't like me because she didn't hug me when she walked in the door. And everything I do then is going to go from that lie. I'm thinking, Patty doesn't like me because she didn't come and hug me today. And then she gives me a weird look when I'm talking, and it's like, oh, there he goes. Her dart just got me. You know, and everything is going to be skewed from that. And before you know it, I'm totally offended and mad at Patty, and probably talking about her to somebody and affecting them with some kind of bitterness. And Patty has no idea, because that's not what it meant. She was just had something else on her mind. So we have to really ask God when we start to take offense, or we start to, when a thought comes into our head, we need to ask, does this line up? Does this seem, you know, is this in God's character? God, is this really what you're saying? You know, is this truth? Or am I twisting it? Am I taking and making something that's not? Because I don't want to be pregnant with lies. I want to abort the lies and be pregnant with the truth of God and with the truth that is. And I want that to flow in everything that I do and everything that I touch. And when I'm full of that, love is going to flow out of me. And that is so powerful. That love is so powerful. It's going, that is part of the shield of faith, because God is love. And what He says about people is love. It's speaking into who they are. And that is so powerful. It will transform them, and it will transform me. So I want to be pregnant with the truth. How about you?
Amen. Me too.
Woo-hoo. Right. Right.
Thirteen.
Benefit of the doubt. Right. 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 And in that Romans 12:1, where it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service, they're saying it's reasonable to live your life in such a way that it is worship unto God. Right. Well, when I'm worshiping unto God, I'm not self-focused. So it is not reasonable as a Christian to walk around with the focus on myself. That's not reasonable. That is flip thinking of the world. The world says it's not reasonable to go around thinking of anybody else, because you got to look out for number one. But God says it's not reasonable that I have claimed you for my own, that I died for you, that I am the anointed one living in you and through you to the world. It's not reasonable for you to do anything but live with your focus on me. And when our focus is on Him, our minds are renewed and transformed. So, Romans 12:1-2. All right, well, can I take it into a different... Can I choose a different example that would be more... What? Yeah, let's leave Patty alone. I'll pick on... I don't know who. Can I pick on you? All right, I'll pick on Dad. All right. I just mopped the floor. No, seriously. No, listen. He's really been doing better, but I just mopped the floor. It's still wet. He just walks in with his shoes... And he doesn't take them off, and he walks across the floor I just mopped. I say, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't care about the work I did. He doesn't care how hard I've tried to make it look good in here. He just cares about himself. He's going to walk through the floor, and it doesn't matter. That part, okay, the truth. He walked across the floor. That was inconsiderate, yes? The lie, he doesn't care about me. So when something happens, and there are things that happen over and over, so what I need to do is say, okay, God, time to go to court. He is guilty. He's guilty that he was inconsiderate, that he was self-focused. I just need to do this, and I'm going to be quick, and I have a good reason for it, and my shoes are okay, and they don't hold dirt, and they're clean, and he has all these reasons, and I'm going to be super quick and right back out, and it won't make any difference.
Justifying.
He's guilty of that, okay? He's guilty. Fine. But he does care about me. He's not guilty of not caring about me. He's not guilty of having no respect for me. So I choose to abort that lie that he doesn't care about me. He's guilty of not considering me at the moment, and I choose to forgive him for that. But he's not guilty of not caring about me. Does that make sense? Right. If I try and hold him guilty for not caring about me, I'm not going to get any healing out of that courtroom. I'm going to walk away from it going, it didn't work. I took him to court for a lie, and he's not going to hold him guilty for a lie. So when I'm ready, when I'm upset with somebody, I need to say, okay, God, separate for me. What's the truth and what's the lie so that I can abort the lie and hold someone guilty for the truth? You haven't done it in a long time, and we're good.
Okay, the reason what I was just going to say is, and so what do we do? Because I've been guilty. Okay, let's think about this for a second. Let's take this on like Hannah was talking about, okay? So what's the process now? She's taking me to court. She's got her healing. Now what's the next step? Because we want to be like Christ. What's the next step?
Next step would be then to take that shield of faith. What does God say about it? The truth is then that he was being inconsiderate in this. But so I need to be praying for him to see that. But also I need to ask God to forgive me for being judgmental and judging him in something that he wasn't guilty of. Because as long as I judge someone, as long as I say, you don't care about me, that skews everything that he does then is going to come across as not caring about me. So I have to be able to get rid of that first and then pray for him to see where he was inconsiderate.
That was the part I was getting to. Say, right. I already went to court. Now what do? I'm guilty and I'm doing the thing we talked about. Justify, argue, right. Defend, and explain. Okay?
Right.
It's because I'm blind. See, people, all of us have blind spots. And so like, in my thinking, I'm thinking, I'm just doing this, blah, blah, blah. I'm not trying to defend right now. What I'm trying to say is, that's how we think.
Right.
Okay?
God help them to see it.
So, those of us that want to be like Jesus, what do? We want to help Jesus them. We want to help deliver them.
Right.
How? Only God can do it. We can't nag them into it. Mm-hmm. We can tell them because she's told me 100 times. Okay? And I heard it 200 times.
100,000?
At least. But what I'm saying is I'm not seeing it right.
Right.
So only God can open my eyes. Only God can remove the deception.
Right.
And so what we have to do, that's where we step into being like Christ and laying our lives down in Matthew 5:44, praying for those which despitefully use you and abuse you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. See what I'm saying?
Yep. Right. Right. So we need to have we need to have divine influence over that behavior by praying against it. What? Are we good? Anything else? Cool. Awesome. So get pregnant with the right thing, yeah?